Us to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Today we're going to be studying, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be studying verses 17 to 19. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. The Lord said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word this morning. We thank you for the truths that you give us in your word, the authority of your word. We just ask, Father, that as we come to it, that we might submit ourselves to it, that your truths would enter into our hearts, that your spirit would fill us now and direct us in those truths. Let nothing of man be involved in this, Father, only what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you hear the words 9/11, what comes to mind?
Tragedy.
Tragedy.
War.
War.
Sin.
Sin.
Heartache.
Heartache. Yeah. What happened on 9/11 that brings up all these things?
The towers.
The towers. Yeah. And the Pentagon. You know, the attack that our country faced by terrorists. What happened as a result of those attacks?
The country came together.
The country came together for a while, yep.
For a while.
Yep.
You saw flags all the way from one end of the country to the other country.
Yeah, I mean, we were in New York when it happened. And when we drove back across country, you saw flags everywhere. Everywhere. What else happened? What were some of the ramifications of it?
Loss.
A lot of loss.
Security increased.
Security increased. How do you like going to the airport now? So much fun, isn't it? It used to be fun to fly, but is it fun to fly anymore?
It's never been fun to fly.
You know, now it's, you got to be there 2 hours early just to get through the security checks. You know, it's, you know, what else happened in our country because of that? Someone said war. We now we entered into a war on terror, and we're still fighting it. You know, if you look at most of the cities, and I would say almost all of the cities across this nation, you'll see there's specialized groups in each law enforcement group within the city that focuses on what terror threats there might be out there. Did we have that before 9/11? Probably to a minimal level. But today. So you could say that after 9/11, there came a new normal to the way we live life now, right? Now, when you go to the airport, you expect it to take 2 hours. Whereas before, you could be there 15 minutes before your flight took off and you knew you could make it to your plane. Not anymore. Things changed. Things changed, and many of those changes were not good, but for our benefit, so they tell us. The idea is to make us safer. So we now live in a new normal. You know, has anybody seen that, what do they call that? The threat rating lately on TV, where they have the red, orange, and, you know, all the different colors for what threat level are we at in our country? No, because things have kind of calmed down. We don't see that anymore. But if you saw it tomorrow, would you say, oh, we're back there again? We're living in a new normal. Whenever people go through a tragedy, something that is outside the normal realm of their way of life, that tragedy changes them so that they now have to face a new normal every day. Well, you know, as we come to this passage today, we have seen as we worked our way through Genesis chapter 3 that each one who was involved in rebellion against God has faced judgment for their parts in that rebellion. So today we're going to look at the last judgment that comes, and that's a judgment comes upon Adam. The greatest force of the judgments for the rebellion, for Adam and Eve's rebellion against God and their disobedience to Him and His Word, fell upon Adam and all mankind after him. It also fell on creation itself. Everything was about to change. A new normal was coming to the earth. A new normal that helps us to be able to say to those who believe in evolution out there, no, this is why we see things the way we see them today. This is why we believe what the Bible says, because this happened. You know, God comes and tells Adam that He's cursing the ground, He's cursing the earth. All the basic materials of physical creation were cursed because of Adam and Eve's sin. The earth, as well as man, would now face decay and death. Romans 8:20 says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it." God cursed the earth because of man's sin. Anybody ever been in a city after there's been a huge disaster, like a big hurricane or a big earthquake or something? What happens in the city to all the stores?
They get looted.
They get looted. And people who really need things, when they get to the store, what do they find? Empty shelves. Yeah. You can see it when these hurricanes are coming up to the coast down south, that people head to the stores and they're clearing all the shelves off just in case. You know, for Adam and Eve, now instead of the ground being a joy to work with its cooperation, it would now become difficult to work, yielding weeds and thorns instead of beautiful crops. The fruit of the crops would now come from blood, sweat, and tears of the work that would produce the needs in order to survive. No longer would there be fruit for them just to reach out and grasp hold of from the trees. A new normal was now about to take place. For all mankind and everything was about to change. Now instead of eternal life, there would be death and a return to that which they were taken from, the earth, the dust of the ground. God would no longer empower the earth or man to be self-sustaining. Now everything was allowed to gradually disintegrate and into disorder and to death. That which was what was created good would be allowed to genetically mutate into different kinds, into that which was not good anymore. You know, we can assume that if these mutations were allowed in the plants, okay, remember, God says, I'm going to curse the ground and it's going to produce what? Thorns and thistles. Everything that was good, all of a sudden, is going to mutate and become weeds and thorns and thistles and stuff that Adam is going to have to deal with. All these weeds would now mutate into, I mean, all these good plants would mutate and they would be thorns and thistles. And think about the animal kingdom too. The animal kingdom would allow to have these genetic mutations as well. This would cause the animals to grow longer claws and bigger teeth. Why? Would it be easy for them to find food now too? No, if it was harder for man, it's going to be harder for them. They would at some point lack enough protein in their diet to cause them to become carnivorous, to become meat eaters. Do we ever consider how a little sin that we think, oh, it's just a little sin, it's not a big deal, can create such havoc? I'm sure when Eve reached out and said, yeah, I think that, yeah, that looks good. It's appealing to the eye and looks good for food. You know, oh boy, I can get smart from this. Makes me think of those things that are on the market today that you take and they make you smarter. Okay. Oh, I can get smarter from this. You know? She didn't think anything. Well, that was no big deal. Well, guess what? It was a big deal. There was things are changing now because of that sin. And there was about to be a new normal. Even the animal kingdom would now have checks and balances because of man's sin and its effects on the earth. The increase of the numbers of the animals would no longer be under God's direction, but would be controlled by other factors, new factors. Why? Because God had withdrawn His presence from man and the earth. Why does God withdraw His presence from us? Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. God can't look at them and go, oh, I love these people. He looks at them and goes, oh, what did they do? Now predators and disease would be used to control the animal populations. In the earth, the animals and man were now so different, and it was that so different that it would be hard to understand, not hard to understand that microorganisms like bacteria and stuff, which were used for good, would now be allowed to mutate as well. Can anybody think of good microorganisms that we use today? What do you put in your bread? Oh. What are you putting down your in your septic tank? Yeast or kind of a bacteria that goes in and starts eating things, right? So it was intended for good when God created, but now it can mutate. Now what was once good can be mutate and become deadly. Bacteria would now cause disease and sickness. Now, mankind, with all their knowledge of good and evil, would have to find ways to battle against these things. Mostly unsuccessfully. Even today, with all the technology we have, it is still difficult to find cures for disease. You know, think of all of the drugs that you used to take, the antibiotics you used to take to get sick. Do a lot of them work anymore? No. They don't. Why? Because disease is being... Why do you have to get a flu shot every year? Why do you have to get a pneumonia shot every year? Why? Because those things mutate and change and become different. Because of the curse. God said, you're in trouble, fella. You and everybody after you. But you know, has anybody ever said to you, when you're in the midst of a good time, oh, don't worry, there's a silver lining in that dark cloud you're in right now. What do you want to say to them? Yeah. Like you give them a good slap. What does Romans 8:28 say? Some of you here know it.
All good things work for the good.
Yes. Yes, all things work for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. See, all things were meant for the good. You know, there's a silver lining in this dark cloud of judgment between that Adam and Eve brought upon themselves. Even though all these consequences seem so terrible, there would be a good purpose for them. I want you to think about something. Think what would have happened if God allowed man's rebellion to go unchecked in a deathless world. They never died. But they could get wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. Where the wickedness of man would go with their rebellion, we can't even imagine how bad it would be. We look at the news today and we shake our heads and say, I can't believe this. But think if people lived eternally from birth, where would that wickedness be? You know, there was coming another time when God would come down and intervene again. Turn over to chapter 11 of Genesis. Chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. What was the tower?
Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel, right. Okay. The Lord looked down to see the city and the Tower of Babel and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because they were there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, of the whole world, I'm sorry. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. See, God saw what could happen if wickedness went on unchecked. And he said, we need to put a check mark in this. We need to stop this. So to prevent these things from getting worse, God curses the entire environment of man, forcing them to realize how serious their sin is and how incapable they are of saving themselves and all of creation from its destruction. So much for following Satan's lie. Well, you can be your own God. There's a new normal now. A new normal that God has established. Has anybody ever said to you, idle hands are the devil's workshop? What do they mean by that? Yeah, if you have nothing to do, isn't it easy to find something you shouldn't be doing? Mm-hmm. How many of you parents who have little ones, when the house is all of a sudden quiet, you go, uh-oh, something's wrong. You go find out what they're in the middle of. Right? Isn't it true? You know, Adam and Eve would now realize that Satan's promise was a lie. That he could no longer be trusted. He couldn't be trusted for what he told them. But now they would be so busy trying to sustain themselves, they wouldn't have much time to get in trouble. They would be so busy trying to make ends meet that they wouldn't have time to get into trouble. Paul talks about this in the New Testament in a different form in 1 Timothy 5. He talks about these widows who have... He said, be careful who you put on these widows lists. Some of them need to get out and get a job and do something. In 1 Timothy 5:13, he says, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossips, busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. See, when we have too much time on our hands, we can find trouble. We can find it easily. And God says, I need to make sure they don't have time on their hands to waste, because I know that they will be tempted to fall into sin again and into things they shouldn't be doing. See, the consequences of Adam and Eve faced would have hopefully put them in a repentive state of mind. Now they would be more conscious of their every action and their every decision to be sure that they stayed in God's good graces and not in rebellion against Him. They would think, when Eve says to Adam, hey, well, hey honey, what do you say we go down to the 7-Eleven and get something? Adam would think, oh, wait a minute. What's down there that we could get into trouble with? Hopefully he would think that. How many of you, when you flip a TV show on, go like, oh, what's the point behind this show, and do I really need to watch this? Is this something good or bad for my mind? Because we've seen all this. You know, all these things were reminders of the consequences of sin. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talks about this in some ways, about these reminders. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. He says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it was, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. What is Paul telling us here? Pay attention to what happened to Adam and Eve. What they thought was just a little sin turned into be a big deal. We need to remember these things. We need to remember that when the devil throws temptation in front of us, that we should say, "Ooh, where else have I seen this kind of temptation? In the Bible. And how did they get out of it? They trusted God." See, they're reminders. They're reminders so that people will not get led astray. And hopefully, as his attitude toward God changed to one of reverent fear, God's attitude toward Adam would become more graceful. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." If we humble ourselves before the Lord and seek His way and ask Him to forgive us when we messed up big time, then He will have a better attitude toward us. James puts it this way in James 4:6, "But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." See, as Adam and Eve's attitude changed and as they made decisions now thinking, "All right, what's the Lord think about this? What's the Lord think about this? What's the Lord think about this?" Do we make our decisions that way, by the way? Or do we just go, "Hey, let's go do this," and not think about, "Well, what would Jesus say about this? Would I take Jesus to see this movie? Would I take Jesus out to that restaurant? Would I take Jesus to that party?" Do we ever think of it that way? Adam and Eve, I'll bet, started thinking things that way. Because things were changing. Everything has now changed. All of creation would now suffer the effect of their sin. Death and decay would now be the new normal until the Redeemer comes to set all things straight. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12 says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens were the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain." God established the heavens and the earth, then cursed them so that they would perish. "But you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, get old, fall apart, decay. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." God looks at this and says, "That's the consequences for your sin. Now all things, living and non-living, will wear out, break down, get old, and decay, returning from that which they came." No matter how much we try to stop it, we can't. You can have yourself frozen so that you can be revived again. But when you're revived, you're still going to get old. It's inevitable. As Peter says, "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." God said it. God did it because man sinned. This is the new normal that God had established because of Adam and Eve's sin. Do you know this new normal can be counted on so much that about a little over 100 years ago, it was formalized into the second fundamental law of science, the second law of thermodynamics. man saw, scientists saw that, wow, everything breaks down, everything wears out. If you leave it alone, it'll break down and fall apart. If it says that if things are left to themselves, they will become degraded and disordered. Dr. Henry Morris, who is a wonderful Christian man, puts it this way. He says, physical systems eventually wear out. Organisms grow old and die. Hereditary changes in species are caused by gene mutations, which in many cases have resulted in deterioration or extinction of the species itself. Even apart from the mutations, the deterioration of the environment has often led to species extinctions. He says, the second law of thermodynamics is true. God established it because of man's sin. He had to put a check mark in the sin. Everything has changed. Instead of things being made, organized into new and complex systems, as in the creation week, now they're being unmade, being disorganized and simple. Instead of life and growth, there comes death and decay. Decay and death, sorry, wrong order. Instead of evolution, there's degradation. Things are getting worse instead of better. This is the new normal of this strange law of disordering decay, the second law of thermodynamics. This is truly what is wrong with the world today. Man is a sinner and has brought God's curse upon the earth. And the day is coming when God will come and put an end to it all. Before the fall, man could eat freely. After the fall, pain, suffering, and toil to eat. Before the fall, they would live eternally. After the fall, they would break, they would wear down, grow old, die, returning to the dust from which they came. Before the fall, man's delight and his happiness was in his close relationship with God. After the fall, his happiness would only be found in the work of his hands that God had assigned him to. Turn me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 to 26. See, everything is changed. There's a new normal now. Instead of enjoying all the blessings that God had given, now the happiness would only come from the work that God gave us. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, it says, Solomon writes, I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. No eternal life. No enjoying these things we work for forever. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless. A great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? Without God, we can't eat or work and find any enjoyment. To the man who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to a sinner he gives a task of gathering and storing up to hand it over to one who pleases God. This too is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. See, Solomon got it. He said, look what we have done. Now, the only way we can have happiness is to have God involved in our lives and do the work that he called us to do and do it for him. That's it. Before that, Adam and Eve basked in the presence of the Lord. They walked and they talked with him in the garden. And then they blew it. Before the fall, there was great blessings from God. After the fall, as wickedness increases, the blessings of God diminish. A new normal has been established on the earth because of man's sin. Our sin and the sin of others has tremendous effect on all creation. You know, maybe as we're going through this, God has revealed something to us that He's holding against us. Maybe He said, this is what you're doing. Or this is what I'm doing. And it's having an effect. Do you know if we repent of it and turn back to God in faith through Christ, there's forgiveness and restoration and relationship? See, all is not lost because God is a God of grace and leaves us with this hope for better days coming and a redemption of all those things that we've lost. See, this whole message could be a real bummer today. If we look and say, oh man, look what we did. And look what I'm adding to it every day because I keep messing up. But there's hope. God didn't leave it at that. God had to put some check marks in and say, oh, wait a minute. We have to build some barriers here so there's safety. So we don't let things go too far too fast. See, there's hope. And we're going to look at that next week. You know, one of the reasons I took this track today was so that we could understand the effects that sin has on the world and how it relates to the evolutionist point of view of the earth. They look at it and say, oh, things are going to get better because we're going to evolve. We look at it and say, no, God says the thing is going to get worse until He comes and puts an end to it. What do we see observationally in the world? Are things getting better? I haven't found anybody yet who thought things were getting better. See, the Bible has good explanations for us for all that we see happening in the world today. So that when people come and ask us, we can have the answers that they need to see the relevance still of God's Word today in their lives. Because people don't think it's relevant anymore, but it is. We have explanations that they need. And we need to be sharing them with them. And we also need to share with them the hope that we have in it. That one day, Jesus, our Redeemer, will return, put an end to all wickedness. The earth will once again face one last final judgment and then remade. And all of us will live together who have Jesus in our heart as Lord and Savior, will live together eternally in the presence of God again. We will be able to walk in His presence, enjoy His presence, reach out and take from the trees that grow along the river. 12 months of the year they produce fruit. Reach out and take. No more toil. No more pain. No more tears. No more suffering. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're a God that loves us so much that you wanted to put limits on how far we could go before we destroyed ourselves. Thank you that you loved us enough that you promised a Redeemer to come and set things straight. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. That you came and fulfilled the law and gave us hope through your death on the cross, that we could have the forgiveness and the restoration of relationship with you that was broken by Adam and Eve. And thank you, Father, that we can trust you for that by faith and know you working in our lives by faith. So, Lord, we just pray today that as we go from this place, that you would open our hearts and minds to what you're teaching us. Father, if we're messing up someplace, please show us. Show us that we might turn from that sin and go back to the true relationship, the right relationship that you want with us. Guide and direct us. Help us to look through the scriptures, Father, and see the things that have gotten other people in trouble and take note of them so that we don't go that direction. And help us to learn these truths so that we can bring them to others and help them understand that we're living in a new normal now because sin entered the world. And we rejoice in your plan that you have for it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.